Good morning. This is Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Atlanta sportsman and broadcaster Ted Turner, waving promises of nearly $3 billion in front of CBS stockholders, today launched a bold takeover campaign against the embattled communications giant. Robert Shackney reports on Turner's opening moves.
Turner proposes to buy CBS by borrowing nearly $3 billion through a public bond and note sale, and then to exchange these new securities for two-thirds of the stock in CBS. In papers he filed with federal regulatory agencies, Turner says this would mean a price of $175 a share for CBS stock, $65 over the current market price. To pay back all the borrowed money at very high interest rates, Turner says he'll sell off CBS non-broadcast properties, including the highly profitable Columbia Records, also the CBS television station in Philadelphia, and the company's radio stations. To raise the money, Turner says he'll sell what are generally known in Wall Street as junk bonds, high-yield but high-risk securities. In his filings with the Federal Communications Commission, Turner asked the commission not to allow CBS to use its proceedings to fight the hostile takeover bid. He asks for a year to raise the money he'll need for the takeover. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
Doug Poling has been rounding up a reaction on Wall Street this morning, where trading has just opened. Doug, is Turner being taken seriously?
Well, Bill, if Turner is serious about this offer, Wall Street is not. Several analysts say that the plan is ridiculous. In the words of Smith Barney's Edward Atterino, there's not a dime of cash in it. Atterino said Turner is planning to print paper and then pay off CBS stockholders with their own money, and he said that Turner's bid borders on the ludicrous. Another analyst, David Lundiner of Wertheim & Company, said Turner has no financial backers for this whatsoever, and the offer looks to him like a joke. Now, while the offer does look flimsy on the surface, there is another theory that's been making the rounds on Wall Street this week. Some of the analysts say what Turner really wants is for CBS to pull what's known as a Pac-Man defense. That is to turn around and buy his company to get rid of the Turner threat, but right now, that threat to CBS appears to be more imagined than real, Bill.
It sounds as if we're in for some weeks of psychological warfare.
I would say so, definitely.
Thank you, Doug Poling.
Sapped by a growing hemorrhage of dollars being spent on foreign goods, the American economy has sputtered into low gear. The Commerce Department this morning reporting the nation's gross national product slumped to a feeble 1.3% in the first quarter, much less than the administration's 1985 forecast of nearly 4%, sharply below the initial report of 2.1%, and the worst performance since the tail end of the recession in 1982. Economist Alan Sinai at Shearson Lehman Brothers blames the nation's trade imbalance.
It is principally in a very weak performance for trade, the result of a strong dollar and heavy import competition, and the inability of goods-producing businesses in America to compete. The 1.3% rise definitely tells us the economy is on a slow growth trajectory.
The GNP report is a bad omen for the nation's employment picture and threatens to add to the already huge federal deficit as revenues dry up. This is a day of remembrance for the 6 million Jews who died in Nazi death camps during World War II. In Israel, rush hour traffic ground to a halt. Pedestrians bowed their heads in prayer. In New York, there was a ceremony of remembrance last night at Madison Square Garden. There was anger expressed at the New York remembrance over President Reagan's plan to visit the graves of German war dead next month. Rabbi Norman Lamb is president of Yeshiva University.
Let it be said here clearly and unequivocally, a courtesy call at a conveniently located concentration camp cannot compensate for the callous and obscene scandal of honoring dead Nazis.
In Israel, there was a somber observance described for us by Bruno Wassertail in Tel Aviv.
When the sirens went off in the midst of the morning rush hour, all traffic stopped, pedestrians stood frozen like statues, and blue and white Star of David flags fluttered at half staff. As Israel paid its annual tribute to the memory of the 6 million Jews systematically killed in the Holocaust of Nazi Europe during World War II, there was sharp criticism here of President Reagan's plan to lay a wreath at a German cemetery where SS soldiers are buried. At a memorial service today, Deputy Prime Minister Yitzhak Navon noted that Hitler's army was involved in the wholesale murder of men, women, and children. What tribute, asked Navon, can one pay to such people? Bruno Wassertail, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
To hear how official Washington is marking this day, here is Deborah Potter.
Survivors of the Nazi concentration camps and American veterans who helped set them free will gather today in the Capitol Rotunda to remember the victims of the Holocaust. They'll say the Kaddish prayer of mourning for the dead and light six candles to commemorate the 6 million Jews who died. White House officials say that President Reagan does not plan to attend, despite speculation he might use the occasion to try to make amends for deciding to visit a German cemetery where Nazi soldiers are buried. Aides say it was just a matter of scheduling, that Mr. Reagan is doing other things to remember the Holocaust. For example, tomorrow he presents a congressional gold medal to survivor Elie Wiesel. Secretary of State Shultz will represent the administration at today's ceremony. Sponsors say that even if the president did come, it wouldn't resolve the dispute. Said one organizer, the anger goes very deep. In her words, we want him to say he's not going to that cemetery to pay homage to butchers. And anything short of that, she said, is beside the point. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the State Department.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery is packing up for the fiery glide home tomorrow from an extended and somewhat frustrating mission. Christopher Glenn reports from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
A phone call from the president, a news conference in space, a chat with another shuttle crew practicing a countdown, highlights of the Discovery crew's last day in orbit. At the news conference, Senator-turned-astronaut Jake Garn of Utah was asked about the medical experiment he took part in and whether he did, in fact, get spacesick.
Yes, I did. I told you I'd report that, and fortunately, like most of the reports, that if you take medication, you're over it in 2 days, and if you don't, you're over it in 2 days. And I'll be very honest with you, I didn't feel good for 2 days, but I've sure felt fine since.
Garn strongly defended his participation in the flight, saying his observations eventually will save many more dollars than it cost to put him up there. Out on launch pad 39A this morning, the crew of the next shuttle flight was practicing the countdown. It was a rare opportunity for some spacecraft-to-spacecraft communication.
Challenger Discovery on UHF. How do you read?
Discovery Challenger. We read you loud and clear, Bo. How may?
Hello, Bob. We read you weak but clear. We were passing by, and we thought we'd just give you a call, see how you read us.
The Challenger flight is scheduled to begin in just 11 days. Christopher Glenn, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
In its first comment on the Ted Turner takeover bid, CBS said this morning it will study the proposal and then communicate with its stockholders and federal agencies. It's 10 past the hour.